You're listening to KRUU LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, open source, listener-supported, grassroots community radio. And we're broadcasting live right here from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.
Right.
Welcome to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline. I'm your host, Monica Hadley, and with me is my co-host. And as you, if you've listened before, you know she's also my wonderful, loving mother.
Oh, wow.
Caroline Kilborn.
Well, I'll tell you, it is a pleasure to be here because we have just interviewed so many fantastic authors and publishers and writers, and just, oh my gosh, it's just a really great experience.
It's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, it is,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We weren't sure what we were getting into when we jumped into this full speed ahead, and
right.
And now we're also working on a website, writersvoices.com,
mm-hmm.
where we'll be putting all of the interviews and much, much more information about writing and writers and so forth. So we'll keep you informed as to when we're ready to go live with that. And our producer, Shemaine Montana, is very actively involved in helping us get that going.
Yes,
and
we need all the help we can get.
And quite a number of other people have jumped in to help with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really been wonderful. Well, before we get started with this week's guest, I'd like to just mention someone whom unfortunately we weren't able to interview, but who's doing a workshop here tomorrow, Saturday, the 18th of July, if you're listening on Friday, if you're listening to the rebroadcast. Sorry you missed it. But from 1 to 4 at Morningstar Studio, and it's the intenders.com. And some of the books that this organization has put out include The Code, 10 Intentions for a Better World by Tony Burrows. I believe Tony Burrows is the workshop leader.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book that boldly presents readers with a true workable solution for the challenges facing our world today based on a new code of conduct that anyone can relate to. Also, he's written The Reunion, A Parable for Peace, which is the second book in the Code series. It's a fast-paced, full-length adventure novel, which will show you exactly what we can do, both individually and collectively, in order to achieve peace and prosperity.
Wow.
And there's also the Intenders Handbook, a guide to the intention process, and the Intenders of the Highest Good, which is another novel. Where you will meet fictional intenders of the highest good. So those
we can certainly use all
so
those
are,
things.
Those are Tony's books and the workshops. There's information about it in the Weekly Reader and around town. So it sounds really fascinating.
And the author we have today is also has also things that we can certainly use in today's world in anyone's life.
Absolutely. Welcome to Writer's Voices, Ariane de Bonvoisin. Did I get that close to right?
You got it perfectly right. It's great to be with you guys.
Oh, great. It's great to have you here. Ariane is the author of The First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier. And, Mom, why don't you give a little background, a little bit of Ariane's background.
She's the CEO and founder of First30Days.com, a website to help people transition through any change, with close to 1 million unique visitors each month. With a degree in economics and international relations from the London School of Economics, she joined the Boston Consulting Group and worked in over a dozen countries in a few years. After an MBA at Stanford, she moved back to New York, working with the media giants MBG and Sony Music. In 2000, she was tapped by Time Warner to become the managing director of a new digital media venture fund. Oh, my goodness. First30Days.com. .com became her life's work in 2004. She also writes a column on change for Redbook and Ad Age and is a personal change expert for Guideposts, MSN, and Health magazines. She is based in New York City, where the company is also headquartered. And when do you sleep?
Ariane, are you as a, boy, that is quite an impressive resume. Are you as impressed listening to it as we are?
You know, it's so funny when I hear that bio, because every one of us has great things that we can sort of project, and I don't think it sort of gives a fair and balanced view, because I could have given you a bio with, you know, 10 really tough things that have also happened.
So it hasn't always been full speed ahead and top of the
exactly
top of the ladder.
The bios always give like one side. I think we all have an amazing side to our lives, and we all have a difficult and somewhat challenging side as well. But I do sleep. Sleep is very valuable to me.
Well, you had an interesting childhood, being raised in different countries and having lots of exciting adventures, I'm sure.
You're right. You know, change was imprinted very early on as a child. I grew up in six different countries before the age of 18. So you get really good at one thing, and that's, change and changing schools, changing cultures, changing languages, friends, health routines, I mean, all types of different change. And, I can always say I'm grateful to my parents for having taught me that life skill, because I think so many parents protect their kids from change and try and keep everything stable, and I just don't think that's the world that we're certainly going into right now. Change is the word of the year. It's going to be probably the most important life skill that we all need to get good at.
So your tribe's rules then were let's take this change and make the best of it.
It really is, I mean, for me personally, my own belief, and this is also very much detailed out in the book, is that people who can navigate change successfully, whether it's a really challenging change, whether it's a change they've always wanted to make, the number one thing I found from interviewing over 10,000 people is that they are optimists. They have positive beliefs. They believe in themselves. They believe life is on their side as opposed to against them. And they believe that something good will come. It's what I call the change guarantee. From this situation, something good will come.
Well, what I like especially about your book is that it's a workbook.
It is. This is one where I think change requests us to sort of participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do the changing for people. I think everyone needs to participate a little bit in their own change. There are some questions. There are some action steps. There are ways to sort of look at who you are and why this change is happening and life a little bit differently. It's not a difficult book. I mean, people can read it in a couple of hours. It's meant to be more of sort of an optimistic, hopeful companion while you're going through change, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a loss, whether it's a health diagnosis or job loss, all the way to all the changes that we all dream of making. We just either lack, a bit of courage or a bit of faith or a bit of self-confidence to actually go make them.
Well, the idea, of course, in the workbook is that you look at where you are, look at how you observe yourself and your surroundings and the change that has happened, and then where do I go from here?
Yeah. One of the things I'm most passionate about, what's in the book, is everyone I interviewed was sort of, very human in the sense that they said they hated change, they resisted change, they were bad at change, they were overwhelmed by change. So it takes a very sort of realistic view at sort of where most of us are, including myself, on a lot of different changes. But it sort of shows, and it takes you down a path of realizing that you're much better at change than you've ever been told or ever acknowledged yourself for, that who you are today is a combination of all the changes you've ever faced, initiated, helped someone else with. All the greatest things that have happened to us have happened because of a change, whether it's meeting a loved one, whether it's pursuing a dream, whether it's moving, whether it's meeting your best friend. All the new changes have actually brought the very best into your life as well. So we all have what I call a change resume, which is much more important than a professional resume. And for most people, it's filled with dozens and dozens of changes. It's when we were going through those changes, I don't think we ever acknowledged ourselves because we just wanted to get through them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never really looked at it that way, but if we, if we hadn't changed, we'd all still be wearing diapers.
Exactly. our bodies are made for change. If we don't change in a couple of seconds, we would die. So there's a part of us, it's what I affectionately call a change muscle. There's a part of us that is really good at change. It's made for change. Our minds are not comfortable with the letting go. They're not comfortable with the uncertainty period. You're between two trapezes. But our bodies are very, there's a part of us inside that actually is calm, knows what's coming next, can actually be with whatever transition we're facing.
Well, Ariane, you talked about having gotten a lot of exposure to change growing up as a child, moving many different countries. Now, is there a downside to that, to having had so much change in your childhood? Because I'm asking this because I know some people who like grew up in military families and moved around a lot, and they seem to have trouble really making friends when they're somewhere, you know, connecting. Not all of, you know, not everyone, but I've observed that in occasion.
It's a good question. I would say I can only speak for me personally. I mean, I feel that what it's given me is a realization that home is something I take with me as opposed to something that's sort of physically surrounding me. So I feel very safe in the world because I don't feel it depends on anything external to me. It's not about friends or a relationship or a home that's giving me my safety in this world. And I find with times we're moving into and we're all feeling, having something inside of you that is your safety net, you know, when your parents are gone or the lover is gone or the job is gone, that to me has been sort of my biggest advantage. The other thing for me with connecting as friends is, you know, the thing I most learned as a child was how similar I was to the kids in Asia or the kids in South Africa or the kids in Europe, because I think as a child you look for what's the same in others, and I think as adults we look for what's different in others. And so I, even now as an adult today, I have an ability to connect with people from all cultures, all religions, all races, because I sort of look for the humanity in each other as opposed to, oh, you look different or sound different.
That's a good point.
Well, Ariane, what's the hardest change you've had to go through?
You know, the hardest change, and it's all relative, but I would say today the one I would probably tell you is leaving the corporate world, leaving the rat race, leaving the identity of I had it all figured out, it was all perfect, in the job I should be in, and I was dating the guy I should be dating. And I sort of, you know, realized at the age of 30, 31 that this ladder I'd climbed very high was the wrong ladder, and it was leaning up against the wrong wall.
Oh, golly.
A pretty scary realization because, you know, you've got to sort of face your own intuition at this point and your own inner microphone that's telling you, Ariane, you're in the wrong job, or Ariane, you're sleeping with the wrong guy, you know. And I had both of those things going off at the same time, and it took me about a year, year and a half to just really get honest with myself and find the courage to face the world and my parents and friends and not know what was next for me. And I eventually left that job with no safety net, not knowing what was next, but having such a sense of peace and that the decision was right and not letting an excuse get in the way, whether it was money or prestige or the New York lifestyle or everything else that was sort of trying to pull me back. But overall, the biggest change was an identity shift for me because I'd always been told I was a business person. And I'd certainly prove that, and, you know, the bio shows it as well. Mm-hmm. I've never been told I was a creative person. I've never been told I was a writer. I've never been told I was a speaker. I've never been told I was an entrepreneur. So when you hit your 30s or 40s or 50s, for you to, like, change your identity dramatically for yourself, you know, the world will kind of accept it when you accept it yourself. But changing the identity from I'm this sort of person to actually know I want to come from a different place within myself, that was hard. Now I feel I'm more all the new stuff than I ever was a business person. But facing what I call the tribe, other people's opinions, other people's beliefs about what you should do, who you should marry, at what age, you know. I've had people going, "Don't you think there are enough books in the world?"
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of books.
Close to me, very close to me.
Wow. Gosh.
I think, you know, the thing I'm most proud and joyful of is finally having my inner world be in sync with my outer world and how I live. I think sometimes they sort of battle each other, and so many of us, you know, we wake up in the morning, we have that intuition or that voice, and so many of us just turn it off because we can't turn it on because there would be consequences. We would leave relationships, we would leave jobs, we would move, we'd sort of take our lives in a bit of a different direction.
Well, Ariane, when you left your job, you said without a safety net, which presumably means without another job lined up, did you know what you were going to do next, or were you just waiting to see what happened, or what did you?
I had no idea, but I knew I had an intention, and my intention was I wanted to do work that mattered, was relevant, was more in line with my heart and soul as opposed to my mind, and I wanted to give back and make a difference. And I did not know what that looked like at all. And I started traveling. You know, that's one of my ways that I just find my peace and love meeting people and seeing the world and getting out of my small little world problems. And while I was traveling, and I mean, I was on the road for a couple of years doing odd jobs here and there, but that's where this idea for First 30 Days was birthed. And I was asking the universe to show me what I should do and what was important. And I worked in a nonprofit in Africa and went to India and was just journaling, reading books. And I started realizing that everyone I was meeting was in one of three categories. They were either struggling with a life change, relationship issue, diagnosis, something. They either secretly wanted to make a change. Very often they wanted to change jobs or careers. Or they were in a third category of helping someone else through a change. And this change thing was all around me, and people would share their stories and of everything, loss and triumph and accidents. And I was like, why is it that this change thing is so hard? And we all struggle, and it's our common language across humanity. We're all going through change all the time. And I was like, why isn't there a company whose entire mission is just to make change easier, where, you know, people who've gone through a change learn from people who are going through it now? And then I started informally interviewing all these people, which is how this book showed up. I just would take notes, and someone would sit in a cafe and tell me about their story of adopting a child or their story of, you know, their parent who'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I'd start taking notes, and I became obsessed with finding out what makes change easier for people. Why is it that one person's good at change and the other person isn't? Mm-hmm. What is it that they're saying, thinking, believing, doing? And the book came out of this, so it's really the nine principles that kept on coming back that make someone successfully navigate change. But I didn't know I was going to write a book. I didn't know it was going to be about change. I didn't know that the universe was just going to give me these, you know, thousands and thousands of stories and examples.
So you started doing these interviews and taking these notes without actually having a plan for what you were going to do with the information?
That's totally correct.
Wow.
Yes. I was just like, this is interesting. There's something here. But I had no idea that this was ever going to be a book. I journal, so I've always loved the written word, and I've always loved capturing notes and quotes and ideas and, you know, other ways of sort of seeing things in the world. But I would keep capturing it. And I mean, and I still do. That hasn't stopped, I think. If you think about it, if you're being a friend to someone, they're probably going through a change, whether it's a breakup, whether it's some sort of challenge.
Absolutely.
I just sort of had a, you know, I think because I was out of the job world, I just, my antenna were very finely tuned. And I just was like, there's something here.
And people going through changes just kind of showed up to talk to you? Or how did you go about?
Every person you're meeting is going through a change. Whether it's, you know, they don't necessarily want to talk about it, but I guess because I was holding that space and the intention, I would have people share, you know, a lot of things, whether it's health changes, professional changes, relationship changes, changes they've always wanted to make, people finding a bit more of their spiritual path, becoming a change. And I started capturing them. I didn't even have a recorder to capture them. It wasn't this professional endeavor. And I'll tell you how the book showed up, because it's an amazing thing once you start getting aligned with what you want to do. And everyone knows it, because that just starts feeling right. You have joy about it. It doesn't feel like work. And I sort of was like, maybe I can start a company that just helps people through change. I didn't know how I would make money. I knew nothing of that. But I was at a conference in California, and I was sitting next to some women at the table. I had no idea who they were. And, you know, I have no business card at this point. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. And they said, you know, so what are you doing? And I said, you know, I'm really fascinated about finding out why some people have an easier time through change, and are there principles, and they asked me a little bit about my story, and I said, you know, I'm close to finding out some real keys that make change easier for people. And this woman sitting next to me, I don't know who she is, she gives me her business card, and she goes, you know what, when you're ready, we'd love to do a story on you and what you've done and the changes you've gone through and also what you have found make change easier for people. And she was the features editor of Oprah Magazine.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Golly.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's sort of, I'm such a believer, there's a perfection and synchronicity. And the minute you let go a little bit of, like, trying to have your life go a certain direction, life actually puts you in the direction you're meant to be going. And I built a tremendous amount of inner faith, inner connection to something bigger, as opposed to my mind deciding everything. I was just, I'm just going to let myself be a little bit more guided and be in the right place at the right time and meet the right people. And so that article came out, and then I had a couple of publishers call going, do you want to write a book? And I was like, let me think about this. Didn't have an agent, had nothing.
So when the article came out, you still didn't have a business plan out of it. It was still just what you were, it was just like a passion for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, absolutely.
I had no business plan. I had no website. Funny story, the article came out, because I said I was going to have a very basic website, and the article came out like a week before I thought it was going to come out for subscribers,
mm-hmm.
and the editors called me and said, Ariane, the article's out, you maybe should get your website up.
Good idea.
Yes.
And how did you accomplish that with no lead time?
You know what? I mean, they had told me when the article roughly was going to come out. It came out in January a couple of years ago. But, you know, we were on the deadline. I thought we were going to get it out. And when it came out a few weeks earlier, I just called up the guys who were freelancing for me and said, you need to push this to production today because the article's up and there's no site. And it was very basic. You know, sometimes we try and make things too complicated, and it had a little bit of information, and it had a way for me to capture some emails so that when I knew what I was going to do and what was next and it was going to evolve into the site that we have today, that I at least, you know, had access to some people who'd expressed a desire to learn more about change and what I was doing.
Well, I'm really interested in hearing how this evolved. So you're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline. Our guest today is Ariane de Beauvoir-Zouan, the author of The First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier. And Ariane's in the middle of telling us not only how the book came about, but how her business came about and how the whole thing evolved. And it's a really interesting journey. So the article comes out, the website's up.
Article comes out, website's up, and a lot of phone calls start coming in because, you know, the Oprah basically had that effect. And it was like, Ariane can guide us through any life change. And at this point, I have a little bit of a panic attack.
Oh, wait a minute. The article said that she could guide you through any life change, and you hadn't even decided that that was what you were going to be doing, was guiding people through life changes?
You know, I had it in my awareness that that was probably what was going to come of it. But having it and seeing it written in an article sets up an expectation of, Ariane, this is now what you're doing. And I hadn't quite fully embodied that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's what you are, and you need to catch up to yourself because there's some fears, there's excuses, there's something else that's in the way. So I kind of had to catch up with this new version of myself. It felt right. It was totally aligned, and it was on purpose. But the former Ariane was a little like, wow, really? Is this who I'm meant to sort of now step into, which is certainly who I am today? But the article came out, and I then went back to some mentors. I went back to some people I had worked with in the traditional world and told them what was happening. And they said, Ariane, you've got, you know, why don't you create, you know, a site, an environment, a business that reaches people wherever they are going through change, whether it's on television, on radio, in magazines, on the web, and give them what they need with specific life changes. So if it's the first 30 days of losing weight, the first 30 days of breast cancer, the first 30 days of starting a business, can you pull together experts, tips, podcasts, information, the top books on a subject, and allow people to create connections? And that, to me, just sounded like exactly what I was meant to be doing. And I was very fortunate enough that some people who believed in me gave me a little bit of money to get started.
Now,
so
I would
imagine, you know, some angels around me who were like, "Great idea," and you know, that took about a year to just pull together the right content, and I sort of stayed out of the press because I didn't think I was really ready for it. I did sign a book deal, which was very interesting. I'll tell you that story. I originally signed with one publisher that had a very large Christian catalog, but they also did other books. And we got the whole book done, and it was all done, ready to go to printers. We were 6 weeks away from print, and I was very happy with the book, and everything was great. And talk about really needing to have read your own book sometimes. And I get a call from my editor who says, we're not allowed to print your book.
What?
And I was like, really? And I'm thinking at this point, from this situation, something good will come.
Uh-huh.
And principle number two of my book, I'm thinking the universe really wants me to go read my book and make sure that I personally can handle change before I have the right to go talk to anyone else about it. And the reason was that the company had made a decision just to publish Christian books.
Ah.
And this is a book that, you know, has quotes from Buddha and the quotes from the Dalai Lama and Wayne Dyer and, you know, the Tao Te Ching in China. And it's sort of, it's a very universally applicable book that pulls on quotes from every religious text as, you know, examples of change being everywhere all around us, but it doesn't distinguish it as primarily being a Christian book. I've had a lot of Christian people love it. So they send me back my book, and I basically go, okay, Ariane, now let's see how you're going to handle this. And I really had to look at my own beliefs about why it was happening. You know, I had to give back the advance. A lot of things happened. And I thought, okay, let's see what good comes from this. And basically within 6 weeks, I'd made a few phone calls. I'd, you know, reached out to some people. I'd asked for help, which is another one of the principles of people who are good at change. You're not alone. You don't go hide. You're not the only person in the world going through something. Mm-hmm. I reached out for some help, and within 6 weeks, I got a deal with HarperCollins, better publisher. I got twice the amount of money. They obviously rushed it to print, which was wonderful. But it was a real way to make sure that I had fully embraced and embodied every word in this book, not because I personally wrote it, because I have had to suffer through these principles myself.
Right.
And I continue to, you know, it's a book, it's a companion for life. It's not a book about just dealing with one change. It's about really rethinking why change happens, you know, how life supports you during a change, how you see yourself going through a change.
This is what...
3 days is a metaphor to really help you start looking at change very differently. The website is really a companion to get into the details of, you know, getting married, becoming a parent, the first 30 days of going green. Very much more specific information.
Now, Ariane, during this year between when the article came out and when your book came out, you were writing a book, you were developing the content for the website, you were bringing together various experts. I'm assuming you weren't doing all that by yourself.
That's correct. I was not. I had a lot of people working for free.
Wow.
Because I just told them it was important work that we needed to do. And, you know, I would ask people to do a logo for me or to edit an article. I think I was just appealing to people's sense of wanting to give back. And I think today, even more than ever, people, if it comes from the right place and if the intention is really to serve as opposed to I'm going to make a whole ton of money from this, it's amazing what people will volunteer. When I did raise the money from some of these angels, then I started working with an actual team that helped me pull together experts and did the technology on the website. But I feel the right people have come always at the right time. And when I wasn't finding the right people, it's either because I wasn't clear what direction I wanted to take it in. I wanted to keep it small as opposed to becoming bigger. There was always I always had to sort of check in with how something felt. I had a lot of people give me a lot of advice. And, you know, the mistakes that I made in the last few years were always going against my own intuition.
Mm.
I thought someone knew better. I trusted someone who'd already written a book. I sort of gave my power away to people who just felt bigger and more powerful than me. And even though I'd never written a book and I'd never worked with a publisher or editor or website, there's sort of an inner guidance and an inner wisdom that I today have completely learned to trust, you know, not only first but also last. Doesn't mean I don't take the advice, but I always check in, does this make me feel comfortable, right? Am I, you know, is my stomach tight? Am I eating more? Am I sleeping less?
Well, that reminds me of the book we talked about 2 weeks ago when we interviewed Stephen Siskold, who wrote What's Your Body Telling You?
Yes.
I love that book, actually. Yeah. I promoted it on my website.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. Your body is going to tell you when things are right for you and when they're not. Yeah. Well, Ariane, what's the significance of 30 days? Why the first 30 days?
You know, the first 30 days came to me really as the right amount of time for people to feel comfortable that they could make some changes, they could look at life a bit differently. It was the right way to help people look at the questions that they should be asking themselves, get the right advice, get the right information. The first 100 days, whether it's quitting smoking or losing weight, already sounds so heavy and overwhelming.
It does, yes.
Days had this sort of, it had the, a lightness about it. There is some, you know, scientific research that says it's about 21 to 28 days for the body and the brain to get comfortable with something that has changed in your life. So I wanted to just put people on the right course to start either making or facing a change with some different skills.
I'd always heard that it takes about 30 days to form a new habit.
Yes, exactly.
And the other, you know, the thing about 100 days, although that's often used in particularly in the political sphere, every time I hear about 100 days, I think of Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, Anne of, yeah.
That's not what we're doing.
No. Or was she 1,000 days?
She was 1,000 days.
She was 1,000 days. Okay. Yeah. I was off a digit.
Here's what I say to people as well is most people are like, but I lost my job 2 months ago. Or, you know, my divorce has been going on for 6 months. The first 3 days is what you would look at when you're at a place where you're ready to make some changes. You're ready to, you know, look at what's happening a little bit differently. So in no way is this book day one, day two, day three, day 17, because your day 17 will be radically different to mine. So I didn't want to sort of put everyone into a 30-day action plan. Very different. I wanted to give people the principles that I've found have really made a difference in people's lives who have successfully navigated a change. There's plenty of stories of other people that, you know, are easy to relate to and kind of go, oh, my God, that's totally my story. But it's you basically find yourself through the book. There'll be some principles that will be very basic. There'll be some principles that will really surprise you. And there'll be some principles where you're like, I've never thought of being or doing that having an influence on how I go through a change.
What's an example of a principle that would surprise me?
I don't know you personally, yeah. But one of the things that surprises people is people who are good at navigating change are very, very good at feeling their emotions. So they will feel the fear. They will feel the doubt. They'll feel impatient. They'll feel sad. They'll feel angry. They'll feel guilty or ashamed. Or people who are good at change give themselves permission to be human. Most people think they're superhuman. How can they possibly survive, you know, getting divorced and losing a job at the same time and still come out on top? They're actually allowing those feelings to come through more than they are suppressing them. Mm. People who are good at change are far from having high standards and being perfect. The people who, you know, lose the weight or stay committed to a goal have very realistic standards. They give themselves enough time as opposed to, you know, feeling like they're a failure if they stop after 11 days. So there was a real humanity around people going through change. There was a real allowance of, you know, this is who I am. I am feeling sad. You know, the best way to grieve is to grieve. The best way to be sad is to allow the sadness to show up and to cry. On the other side of that, on the other side of allowing, is where the resistance falls away to a change. You know, I tell people that the emotion you don't want to feel, especially when you're going through change, is the emotion that's actually ruling your life right now. Mm-hmm. So the key is to feel the emotion, and on the other side of that is where the doors open, is where the resistance falls away, is where you actually feel better. But, you know, so many of us, we don't want to feel. We don't want to feel that emotion. It's too painful.
And what we resist grows stronger.
Exactly. Yeah. So people who are good at change are very human. They are the ones that you'll see walking around, you know, being very much in their feeling. They're not in their heads as much. They're much more in how things are moving through their body. You know, another one that was surprising, this is part of the principle about taking action and what kinds of actions help people through change. One of the number one things that goes out of the window when you're going through change is your health. You don't sleep enough or you sleep too much. You don't exercise anymore. You eat terribly. And if you're drinking, you're drinking coffee and alcohol, not staying hydrated. And people who are good at change, they have this sort of self-care. They have a gentleness about them. They make sure that regardless of how difficult or challenging the change might be, that they're taking care of their health. And what I say to people is, you know, when I was doing a lot of one-on-one helping people through change, I always look at what I call the seed of change, the seed. S is for sleep, E for exercise, E for eating well, D for drinking water. And I can always tell which one of those four is completely off in a person. And when someone's like, I'm totally freaking out, I don't know, I'm overwhelmed, the number one thing I would say is get up and move. It is very hard to feel fear when you're moving. It's really hard. It's hard to feel any of these emotions. And these emotions need to come out of your head and mind, which is where they hang out, and they need to start moving through the body. So people who are good at change are actually healthier. They take care of their health. It's basic. All four of these things are available to anyone.
So that's a way that if maybe you aren't naturally good at change, maybe you aren't naturally someone who expresses your feelings or feels your feelings, but this might be a way to help become better at change by sleeping, exercising, eating, and drinking water.
You know, change, the emotions of change are hard. The actions are actually very easy. I tell people the action of quitting smoking, very easy. You just don't put a cigarette in your mouth. The action of losing weight, pretty simple. The action of getting divorced is pretty simple. It's the emotions that get in the way of those changes. And the emotions are things that, you know, emotions are meant to be felt, number one, and they're meant to be moved through the body. They're not meant to be figured out in the head because the mind doesn't know what to do with these, and they make them worse, and they invite friends to, you know, your mental parties, and
yeah.
Then they get a little out of control.
Now, our minds tend to go down similar paths and well-known paths all of our lives, so when you're facing change, you have to redirect those thoughts, because we're, like you said, you're growing up in a tribe that's your family, and you're conditioned to react in certain ways, and so you have to change, and that's you have to change that way to make a change.
You know, one of the things I tell people is, if you really want to make a change, ask yourself what you consistently say to yourself on a regular basis, because for most people it's really negative.
Uh-huh.
And what do you say to yourself when you look in the mirror? You know, for most of us, it's really negative.
Man, I'm getting old.
No, for me, it's like, who is that person?
Yeah, who is that old lady? That's what I say.
Oh, but actually, you should see Mom. She looks great. Every time I think about getting old, I'm like, well, at least I'm not going to look really old because I'm going to look like my mother.
Well, it's such a lovely thing to say.
Yeah, it's in our genes. My grandmother, my mother. And even my great-grandmother, you know, was amazing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah. Well, I got lucky in that way, yeah. That's for sure. I got lucky in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You're listening to Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Ariane de Bonvoisin. I love saying that now. That's really
yeah, it is a cool name.
Who's really the author of The First 30 Days, Your Guide to Making Any Change Easier, from HarperCollins. Ariane, would you like to read a section from the book for our listeners today?
Yes, I would love to.
Great.
I am going to read a little section about the metaphor of the trapeze.
Oh, okay, good.
Here it goes. Sometimes I feel that my life is a series of trapezes. I find myself swinging on a trapeze, or during a few moments, I fling myself across the space that lies between two trapezes. Most of the time, I spend my life holding on to the trapeze. I swing myself at a certain speed, and I have the sensation that I'm totally in control of my life. I know the right questions, and I certainly know the answers. But sometimes when I'm happily or not so happily swinging, I look ahead, and what is it that I see in the distance? I see another trapeze coming towards me. It is empty, and I know, in that part of me that knows, that this trapeze has my name on it. It is my next step, my growth, life that is searching for me. From the bottom of my heart, I know that to grow, I must let go of this old trapeze that I know so very well, and I must grab onto the new one. Every time that this happens to me, I hope, no, I pray, to not have to let go of the old trapeze completely before grasping the new one. But in that place where I know that I must let go of it first and cross space before being able to grab it. I'm always very afraid. It doesn't matter that in all of my previous flights between trapezes, I have always been successful. I always fear failing, crashing against the rock that I can't quite yet see at the bottomless pit below that I have imagined. But I do it anyway. Perhaps this is the essence of what mystics call the faith experience. There's no guarantee, no safety net, and no insurance policy, but you do it anyway. Because to continue holding on to the old trapeze just isn't one of the options anymore. So during an eternity that can last a microsecond or a thousand lives, I rise above all of that emptiness of my past gone by and my future not yet come. This is what I call a transition. I've come to believe that true change occurs only in these transitions. I mean true change, not the pseudo change that only lasts until the next time all of your old buttons are pushed. I've also come to realize that in our culture, this transition zone is considered to be a nothing, an empty non-place between places. Of course, the old trapeze was real, and I hope that the new one coming towards me will also be. But what about this emptiness in between, that time? Is it simply an empty space that should be crossed as fast and unconsciously as possible? No. This would be to lose a great opportunity. On occasions, I suspect that the transition zone is the only real thing, and that the trapezes are actually the illusions that we create to avoid the emptiness in which real change and real growth happens. Whether or not this be true, what is certain is that the transition zone in our lives are so incredibly rich. They should be honored and savored. Yes, despite all the pain, the fear, and the feelings of being out of control that may accompany all transitions, these are still the most vivid, full of growth, passionate, and expansive moments of our lives.
Boy, that makes me want to change something.
Go grab another trapeze.
Yeah, well, the metaphor of the trapeze is kind of a scary one, really, when you think about it. You know, I certainly have never been on a trapeze and don't ever intend to be.
Oh, but you have. You have metaphorically.
Yes, I know I have.
That is for sure. Oh, Quite a number of them.
Yes, I have.
You've not known how you were going to grasp the trapeze. You didn't think you had the skill. No one had ever told you how. We're all faced with those moments. I mean, life gives us all our fair share.
Well, I've always believed that whatever happened, God had a plan for me, and I was going to be okay.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Now, Ariane, you mentioned that the first 30 days is not like day one, day two, day three. That's not the structure of it. Can you describe a little bit how the book is structured?
Sure. So the book is very simply structured around the 9 principles of change. So it really was the culmination of all these interviews that I started to see patterns. I started to see similarities of why some people would get through change, some people wouldn't. So as an example, the first principle of change, people who successfully navigate change are optimists. They have positive beliefs. Mm-hmm. And we go through where those beliefs come from, what are the beliefs of someone who's an optimist, are you born optimistic, how does, you know, your family, society influence those beliefs. So that's sort of one of the chapters. There's a chapter on all the emotions that people feel when they're going through change, what I call the change demons, those emotions that we don't feel and we don't really want to have show up. There's a chapter about actions that really help when you're going through change as opposed to some of the actions we run around doing hoping that it's going to make us feel better. There's a chapter about the spiritual aspect of change and how there's always something bigger going on. That was one of the principles that was a little surprising. Every person I interviewed, even though they didn't agree on what that looked like, how they described it, what name they would give to it, there was always some element of there's something bigger going on right here and I'm not really sure what it is. But there was an element of faith, an element of prayer, an element of intuition, an element of, you know, resting in something inside of you that doesn't change when everything outside of you is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was it's a beautiful chapter. There's a principle around the power of acceptance and about people who move through change or people who can say, I accept that I've been fired. I accept that I've lost money in the market. And it's a lot of people who cannot get to that place of acceptance. They're not accessing the solution, actually, that's on the other side of that. But the allowance, the moving in the direction of the river, as opposed to clinging to the rock, or worse, trying to row back upstream to get the body back, to get the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Clinging to the rock and rowing back upstream is what makes change really hard, because life is just going, just keep flowing, keep moving in the right direction. There's a principle around the things you can control when you're going through change. People who go through change have a different vocabulary. They use different words. They have different questions. They do not spend time recounting the story of what's changed 50,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
It is one story. You must, you know, share it and make sure that you've been heard. But after a while, every time you recount the story of why something happened, you re-energize, you recommit to feeling all the emotions about it.
You give it a life of its own.
When we're looking for a new story or a new change, you've got to allow some space for a new story to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, the book is really the 9 principles. You can read one at a time. You can read 9 all in one go. You can apply these principles, you know, men, women, even children, you know, will totally understand the concept of the change muscle or the change guarantee. Very simply, there are some exercises, but not too many. This is not, you know, a book that makes you work. It definitely makes you feel things and look at things a little bit differently.
Well, it makes you work a little bit in that you have to examine yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, that's the whole point. You have to examine where you are, where you want to be, and how we're going to get there.
Yes.
Now, Ariane, when was the book published?
So the book came out in hardback in May of last year, and then it came out in paperback exactly a year later. So the paperback's been out for about 3 months now. And we've been very fortunate. We made the bestseller list at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We've had, even this year has been just a wonderful unfoldment of people finding the book, people getting the book for other people. I mean, we all know someone who's going through change. And we've had some wonderful testimonials, not only in this country, but people finding it around the world.
Well, that
change, you know, I didn't know that Obama was going to use his campaign around change, so it was just a wonderful, fortuitous, you know, thing that has sort of helped not only be able to, you know, get me some exposure and awareness around the subject, but helping people sort of more at a grassroots level of people who've, you know, every one of us has gone through some sort of change in the last 12, 24 months.
Yeah, the entire, you know, economic situation, people losing jobs, people losing money, people starting new businesses, there's upsides to it too. It kind of makes your timing look really spot on.
You know, it's what I said at the beginning of our interview. I find that when you can really start seeing some of the perfection and synchronicities of why you're meeting someone, why you're reading a certain book, why you're listening to a song, why suddenly someone sent you an email. I've really tuned that antenna to sort of start looking for clues and signs, you know, on the journey that we're on. And I, you know, it's really where I find my strength is I feel and I have felt from the start, I have felt guided to leave a job I didn't like. I was very good at it. You know, so many of us are great at jobs, and that's what keeps us in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt very guided to leave, and I felt guided to really strengthen sort of my spiritual side and then really bring that into the world. It wasn't an either-or. You know, my next book is more about having a foot in both worlds, and being fully in the business and material and financial and crazy world we're in, and having a foot fully in the emotional and spiritual world where it's not a choice. There's a need for people to have a foot in both worlds, to be ambitious and also to have tremendous meaning in their lives, to go from their head and their heart, to be masculine and feminine. So that's sort of where I feel my next... I haven't really shared this with anyone, so this is a super...
All right.
Whoa. Well, when are you going to be publishing that book, do you think?
You know what? I'm feeling very pregnant with this book. I have a little sort of writing corner and an altar where I write at home, and I'm feeling really no resistance around this book. It's coming through me. It will come through, you know, when I'm walking around or in a cafe. So I haven't structured it as I am now writing a book. And to me, that the less I put a rigidity and demands and rules on myself, the more I feel this is now very comfortably flowing through me. My intention is to publish it within a year. So I would say, you know, May has been a lucky month for me. My birthday month as well. And so giving birth to new projects, it feels like May of next year.
So do you have a title for this book?
My intention, this is the name I've registered, is to call it A Foot in Both Worlds.
Uh-huh. Well, the title of this one, The First 30 Days, you know, I think I can imagine one reason why it appeals to people at first glance is because, okay, that's an element of time I can handle, 30 days. So, you know, yeah. I think that grabs the imagination, and I think that's probably one of the reason it's so popular, I would say. And then, when they get into it, then they find out why, yeah, this is a good book.
Well, I love your next book, the Foot in Both Worlds. Particularly here in Fairfield, we have many people who really are strongly in both worlds. We have some that are totally on the spiritual side, too, and some that are totally on the business side. But we have a lot of people who are trying to straddle both, it can be very fulfilling to do that.
And I find the more people who are doing both sort of really own both, there's no shame about being in a boardroom or having an amazing holiday, and there's no shame about going to a spiritual retreat or meditating first thing in the morning or wearing prayer beads, and having people own those two sides and just showing the possibility and example. I mean, you know, people are always looking at other people. People are always looking for the way or inspiration or clue or solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, I'm feeling that, you know, I always look for my next books. I always look for something that I have initially not struggled with, but where life has sort of put me in a certain situation, I've really been challenged to learn and grow. And then once I feel I have, I feel an integrity that I could actually share that with other people. And I really was in the business, career, financial, crazy world. And then I've really gone searching, you know, whether it's India, Africa, meditation every morning, and just looking for some teachers around me that can help me sort of balance those two things. So I'm feeling ready to share that.
Well, Ariane, we only have a couple minutes left. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the website and how it works?
Sure. So the website is first30days.com. We have 60 life-change subjects there. We're in the areas of career, whether it's losing a job, finding a job you love, starting a business, areas of relationships, the area of your finances, the area of new directions, whether it's the first 30 days of living spiritually, the first 30 days of going green, home changes. So it really spans the gamut. Every change, we've got interviews with experts. Some of them are podcasts. Some of them are videos. We have 30 days of email on every one of these changes. So let's say someone's looking for a job. You can sign up for free the first 30 days of finding a job, or the first 30 days of finding the love of your life, whatever life change it is that you'd like some help with. We can certainly help you for a month and just handhold you. There's a community of people going through the same change, so people never feel alone. They're like, oh, my God, there's thousands of other people going through this as well. I have a blog on the site where I just wrote a blog article about parenting kids through change right now, which, you know, I just feel is an important skill to sort of teach parents as well.
Oh,
and
good.
I have a show online called Change Nation, You can find it at First 30 Days, or you can go to changenation.com. And there I interview either an expert or a celebrity or a change agent that's really making some changes in the world. Again, all of this is free. You know, it's all supported by advertisers and sponsors who we're thankful for, who just want to reach people while they're going through change. So that's first30days.com.
Well, you know, it is important to know that you're not alone in things, because that's one of the down parts. We think, oh gosh, nobody else can be going through this. I'm isolated. I'm alone. And then we find out we're not.
You're so right. I think it's our biggest calamity as
beings
is that we keep thinking we're alone.
Right.
And we are so connected at, you know, different levels. And I think we really forget that. And I think reminding people and, you know, reconnecting with people, not only online, but also in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what people are all, we all just want to be loved. We all just want to know that we're okay.
Yeah.
Well, Ariane, thank you so much for joining us today on
Writer's Wonderful
Voices. You are truly an inspiration.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. I really, really enjoyed your questions.
I hope someday we get a chance to meet in person.
Would love it.
You're welcome to Fairfield anytime.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome to crazy New York City as well.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you once again. And if you're listening on Friday, stay tuned for Planet Erstwhile. James Moore, our wonderful station manager, has some really interesting guests coming up. He's going to be interviewing Snadam Kaur, who is, I don't think I said that quite right, but she is a musician who will be performing here next Friday at the Sondheim Center. And he's also going to be interviewing some cast members from the High School Musical that's opening tonight.
Oh, my.
So that should be lots of fun. And we will close with a quote that Mom got from
your book,
from Ariane's book, The First 30 Days.
I just love this. Well, there are a lot of quotes in there. I'm a quote person, and there's a lot of quotes, but this one is great. We are all pilgrims on the same journey, but some pilgrims have better roadmaps.
See you next week on Writer's Voices.
Writer's Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, and Shemaine Montana. Archives available at KRUUFM.com and WritersVoices.com. Writer's Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.